This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Tuesday, January 7th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Trump digs in on tariff plan, GOP strategy debate, and lead plant-based foods guidance released. Trump says he's not scaling back universal tariff plans. President-elect Donald Trump insists he's not scaling back plans for an across-the-board tariff on U.S. imports, rejecting a Washington Post report suggesting aides are crafting a pared-down proposal. Trump repeatedly floated a universal tariff of up to 20% during the campaign. On Truth Social on Monday, Trump said the Post report, quote, incorrectly states that my tariff policy will be pared back. The Trump transition team did not respond to AgriPulse requests for clarification. Some Republicans on the House Ways and Means Committee, including Representative Nicole Malliotakis, told AgriPulse in November they favored a more targeted approach to tariffs. We'll see what they propose. I haven't seen any specifics, Malliotakis said yesterday. Johnson lays out strategy for passing reconciliation bill. House Republicans appear to be leaning into the idea of a one-bill budget reconciliation process, which Trump backs. The idea is to wrap a range of Trump's policy priorities into one giant bill, including tax and spending cuts, border security funding, and energy development. House Majority Leader Steve Scalise of Louisiana noted yesterday that in Trump's first term in 2017, the first reconciliation bill failed. 20 Republicans later voted no on the following budget resolution, and at the time, Republicans had a much larger margin of the House than they do now. Guess what? We can't lose two members, Scalise said. When I shared that with the president, you could tell they understood. I mean, there's serious risk in having multiple bills that have to pass to get your agenda through. Scalise says there's a risk of losing Republicans on the second package. Using a one-bill approach, he said, they can get the process started in the next few weeks. Keep in mind, Senate Majority Leader John Thune of South Dakota prefers a two-step process that would leave tax issues to a second reconciliation bill. Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina called it a national security imperative to address issues like the border as quickly as possible. But Speaker Johnson feels like he can't do two bills the Democrats did, Graham said, referring to what Democrats accomplished in President Biden's first 2 years. So we'll see how this plays out, but there are so many threats out there, I think this delay equals danger. Consumer groups disappointed with new lead action levels in baby foods. Consumer groups say FDA's new action levels for lead and processed baby foods don't go far enough. Yesterday, the agency released final guidance setting action levels at 10 parts per billion of lead for packaged baby foods with fruit, some vegetables, yogurts, custards, single ingredient meats and mixtures that include grain and meat-based mixes. Additionally, FDA set an action limit of 20 parts per billion for single ingredient root vegetable products and dry infant cereals. The levels are the same as what FDA initially proposed 2 years ago, eliciting frustration from some consumer groups. The Center for Science and the Public Interest says it urged the agency to revise its approach to prioritize public health protection rather than setting levels that most of industry could meet. Similarly, Brian Romholm, Director of Food Policy for Consumer Reports, criticizes the guidance for seemingly catering to industry standards rather than consumer health. Given that there is no safe level of lead in children, the action levels outlined in this guidance are virtually meaningless because they're based more on industry feasibility and not on what would be best protect public health, Romholm says in a statement. It's not clear why they even solicited comments on the guidance since they pretty much ignored them. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this. Daybreak is sponsored by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the third largest dairy co-op of the country. Edge is a powerful advocate in Washington for farmers throughout the upper Midwest. Dairy has reached a crossroads. The time for change is now. As more milk is moving outside the federal milk marketing order system, we need to ensure basic protections remain in place for the farmer, such as timely payments and third-party verification. Ed says it's time to provide these protections to all dairy farmers. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Plant-Based Foods Group says new labeling recommendations from FDA will hurt market. Yesterday, FDA also proposed non-binding guidance urging more specific labeling for plant food alternatives to animal products. The recommendation suggests manufacturers prominently display more details about the ingredients used in a product rather than just saying they are plant-based. The guidance covers items like alternatives to eggs, poultry, meat, cheese, and more, but doesn't include plant-based alternatives to milk. The recommendations create, quote, unnecessary burdens for plant-based producers that may make it more difficult to keep their products on grocery store shelves, says Madeline Cohen, Associate Director of Regulatory Affairs at the Good Food Institute, which promotes non-meat-based protein. She says the guidance doesn't identify any existing consumer confusion with the ingredients used in plant-based alternatives. Keep in mind, the proposed guidance doesn't set legally enforceable rules. Given the timing, it leaves the final decision on the issue to the incoming Trump administration. FDA finalizes new guidance for animal feed ingredient reviews. FDA also has finalized new guidance for an interim animal feed ingredient review pathway intended to replace a now-ended partnership with the Association of American Feed Control Officials, a group that represents state-level regulators. Under the newly finalized animal food ingredient consultation pathway, the agency will take on full responsibility for reviews of plant materials, grains, and human food byproducts, replacing a previous memorandum of understanding that allowed the agency to work in tandem with state regulators. American Feed Industry Association President and CEO Constance Coleman says her group, quote, will work closely with the FDA to ensure that this program is efficient, inclusive, and capable of accommodating the diversity of ingredients essential to animal nutrition. Well, here's today's final word. USDA is adding $650 million to the kitty for the Marketing Assistance for Specialty Crop Grants Program and raising the payment limit from $125,000 to $900,000. The Farm Service Agency also extended the deadline for applicants until this Friday. The deadline had been Wednesday. The agency says it raised the payment limit in response to comments from stakeholders. FSA cites higher marketing costs related to specialty crops due to perishability, transporting, and packaging, which presents greater financial challenges maintaining and expanding markets. Well, that's Daybreak for this Tuesday, January 7th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Chap Nally.